BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
We were talking about bottoms in the studio and it was on my mind because there's a picture of Nicole Scherzinger with a bottom out today in the Daily Mirror. She's kind of got patterns on her naked buttocks and on the top of her thighs, like she's sort of, she sat down on a mucky tyre or something, do you know what I mean? Or she sat down, I mean, it would be inappropriate to go into a children's infant school and sit down on their artwork, but that's kind of looks like what she's done. She's got this weird pattern all over the back of her. I think it's supposed to be like Maori painting patterns on the back of her bottom. The back of her bottom. Can you have the back of your bottom?
Yeah, I think so.
Suppose you've just got the bottom. There's no back of your bottom.
I'm not going to talk about other types of bottom.
Okay. It's been some new rulings since yesterday.
No, I was just trying to think of the opposite of back bottom.
Yeah, no, I did as well.
No, you're just trying to lure me into...
We both did the math, didn't we?
You're trying to get me sacked.
I mean, if you got a lawyer in the building, you're like, I will not be drawn on any type
you
of talk.
You kept trying to get me to say it. Of...
I didn't.
You did, though. It seemed like you
just
were going...
Just because you're obsessed with...
What's the back bottom?
Okay. So what's the... what's the opposite of a... Bottom is a top bottom.
Yeah.
And the opposite of a back bottom is a...
I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, she looks nice. I don't know what the event is. I don't know why she's got a bottom out. But obviously, as you'd imagine, she looks nice. If it is indeed her bottom. Becky's now casting aspersions on whether or not it is even her bottom or if she's got a bottom double involved. Which I don't think they can do these days. I think that'd be frowned upon.
Well, no, I'm just saying, let's touch it up a bit. No, no.
All right, love. All right.
You know, on those computer programs.
Yeah, whatever, Bex.
And then you were telling me how you'd gone to the bum factory and got a...
Oh, yeah, no, I mean... No, it's not. I said I built a bottom, but at the gym. And it's not, as you inquired earlier...
Like the Build-A-Bear place.
Like the Build-A-Bear place where you get in big shopping malls where you go in. They don't do Build-A-Bottom places where you can go in and choose the peachiness and the shade and the size and stuff. Give it a name. Give it a sound effect like you can at the bear shop. Give it a squeak or a little voice. It goes, I love you.
I know.
That's,
do you know,
what happens with the bears, not the bottoms.
My mum had to do an operation the other week to cut... I don't think I should be saying this. No, my mum had to do an operation on one of those bears because I had one from years ago.
Oh.
But it had my ex-boyfriend's voice in it. So she had to do like the open heart surgery where she cut it open and then took his voice out. And then it activated it and it wouldn't stop. So my stepdad's like smacking it on the thing to try and stop it. And then she'd just stitch him back up. In the end, he stamped on it and put it in a glass of water.
Oh, gosh.
It just wouldn't stop. And it was because the battery was going. It was like...
And what was the message? I'll be with you forever. Like that.
No, I was like, I love you. Because the battery was going. It just kept doing it over and over again.
You're like, no.
Yeah.
Why did she have to do that? Because the teddy was about to be given to charity? Or was it your teddy?
No, I just wanted rid of his voice in it.
Not surprised. There's a lesson there. If don't let a current boyfriend, if you're not that keen on him, let you buy one of those teddy bears because you'll have to get the voice out at some point.
Yeah. It's the new equivalent of cutting his face off out of pictures, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the modern day.
Cutting open a bear and taking the heart out.
Taking the heart out of the bear. Wow. Mm. Although I've cut up family photos, but that's quite an old story, isn't it? Where I cut up pictures of the...
Don't talk about the Valentine's card you made because that freaks me out every time.
Where I cut up...
No, don't. It's embarrassing to you and everyone else.
I know, and I've told it a million. I never think it's weird until I get to the end of the story. Then I think, yeah, it is a bit weird.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Ben Howard, The Fear. Going to play some in a moment. Well, it just proves that Anthony Cotton, my good friend, is on the wrong TV show. I played it yesterday. I'll let you hear that in just a moment. You know, who gave their dog, who gave their Build-A-Bear bear away?
Jen.
sorry, Becky. Jen did.
Jen.
Gave it to the dog.
To the dog. Because it had her ex's voice in it.
I thought you said she sold it to the dog.
I'd like to see that deal go down.
It'd be great if you had a dog clever enough to be able to sell it things. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know where. I don't know what that means. So she gave it to the dog and the dog chewed it up. And then, you know, when you get kids' toys. Today I spent 2 hours in a huge toy shop, the name of which is spelled incorrectly. Bad grammar, but it's a massive shop. If you rearrange the letters in the name, it comes up with actual hell is what it spells. 2 hours in there and talking to things, going and making funny noises like your teddy was. I kept spinning round because various toys kept going off. There were these like pandas and cats and stuff. Not real, obviously. It's not like Harrods or something where you can probably buy an actual panda. And I kept being like, and turning around. It's all these moving little sort of cuddly toys in boxes. It was a bit spooky. All right, Carl in Middlesbrough, Sophie sitting in traffic, Chris in Cumbria, Mel in Mansfield, Alex in Leeds, and lots of other people. What is the Valentine card story? Basically, Becky's got a problem with this story. I think it's a completely normal thing to do. On Valentine's, I got a photo of Ben, and it's from when Isaac was a baby, and he's holding Isaac in a baby papoose, but Isaac is facing out, so it's sort of Ben's face and then Isaac's face just below in like a baby carrier. And I cut out a picture of my own face and stuck it over my baby's face so it looked like I was being carried in the baby papoose. And then I wrote inside, happy Valentine's, I want to be your baby. See, every time I tell it, it felt quite natural and sweet at the time. Though Ben's face did sort of go, when he opened it, he was like, what? He started like backing out the room, getting the car keys. Just got to go somewhere. So anyway, that was it. I mean, I replaced my baby's face with my own. And said, want to be your baby. Happy Valentine's. It did look weird. It looked quite weird. Becky's got an issue with it. More to do with Becky than me, if I'm honest. Now, coming up, so Anthony Cotton in The Wrong Show. We've been out on Stupid Street as well. Don't forget, we're heading towards tonight's masterpiece, Part and Trois, with Mr. Zane Lowe. Tonight is Dizzy.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Sarah Coxon for Scott Mills this week. Hope you're well. Loving I'm a Celeb to Get Me Out of Here. It's a great series, isn't it? Because they've got young, beautiful people in there. So they've got the stuff for the eye. So if you're a lady or a boy, doesn't really matter, does it? But if you like to look at the likes of Mark Wright from The Only Way Is Essex, then if you like that kind of thing, he's handsome. Doesn't do it for me personally, but, you know, good-looking boy and all that. And then Emily and Jessica Jane. I cannot take my eyes off their comedy boobaloobas. They're just weird looking. And they've just got them out. They're just in the... I just think, how can they just go about their daily functions and fetch water and chat with... I mean, it's like they're just huge. They're bigger than the pygmy hippos at London Zoo, and I know I'm there a lot. It's just like this big stretched skin, kind of like... Just big knockers, Becky. I don't know how to get this across. Do you agree?
I like the fact you think they might interfere when they're having a chat.
I know, because
I don't quite often.
But do they not make them jump? Do they not glance down and go, whoa, what the? You know what I mean? Because they're just like... They look like they've been drawn by, you know, by the mind of somebody who writes the headlines for the Daily Star or something. They're just like... They're just there. I'm obsessed with them. I'm just like, look at the girls. They're just like, crikey. Anyway.
I don't know what to say.
I know, but do you agree, though? Do you not think they're like comedy boobs, like huge?
I can't say I've, like...
I mean, there's no, like, have they had surgery? There's no, like, has she or hasn't she? It's like, she has. You know, instant. Mm. Because they're on such tiny little skinny frames.
I love how fascinated you are by it. I watch it for like the bugs and stuff.
Well,
and, like,
I do, obviously. I don't just
the challenges and the gossip in camp, not just boobs.
Well, I mean, the gossip and the older characters are just brilliant because they've got this life experience, because they don't really care about, you know, about keeping things sweet or being nice. They're just much stronger characters. So it's just really, really good, this series. Look forward to it every night. Last night, Sunita did all right, actually, in the little challenge that she had to do, in the Beat the Bugs challenge. She had to hold a massive tray. A little bit like if you go to a panto or to the theatre and they sell ice cream in a little tray that they have to hold in front of them, although you wouldn't want to be eating this because it was just bugs that had to be loaded into this tray. And she had a unique way. Now, we tried to put this to some music. It's like Gabba or something. It's like so fast. Playing Flux Pavilion next. I bet he could do something with it. This is her own unique way of coping with having lots of bugs piled onto her. This is Sunita last night. That's what she did to cope with all the cockroaches and mealworms and all that being like climbing up her arms and stuff. So it's good. We were going to try and mix it into a dance tune, but it's just, I mean, it's beyond even Bass Hunter, isn't it? Try and mix it into Flux or see if it'll work. Maybe.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Plum of Faith on Radio 1. Before that, David Guetta. Played David Guetta. The Dance, Phil, Dave, John, Tim, Andy and Lee working hard at Cable Flow. They're giving good flow to them. They're cables that they're flowing.
So,
Hang on a minute. I've come up with my dream TV programme.
B-B-C-Radio.
A little snippet there, a little clue. I played this after six, you might have missed it. Watching I'm a Celebrity, my friend Anthony Cotton is doing very, very, very well. Team Cotton, I'm firmly in Team Cotton. And not only does he talk sense, but he talks food, which obviously resonates with me. Lots of people preferring this evening's first 30 minutes of chat about bottoms and bulbs instead of yesterday's, which was mainly on food. So Anthony loves talking about food. He's a great chef. He's the main chef in camp, in the jungle. And so he could go on my other favouritest TV show of all time. And this, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to imagine it using your minds. We've done it for you. This is what it'd sound like.
So expectations are high, but the pressure's telling already as Dark Horse Anthony's having dark times in the kitchen.
I'd slice it into like that. So there's 10. Chop the leaves up, chop the cucumber, bell pepper and beets.
Next, Anthony turns his attention to the main course.
When the rice is warm, you could just stir all that in the crock pot into the rice, so it's a warm salad, and you could add the beetroot to it then. And instead of it then being a stir-fry consistency, it'd be like a warm salad, and then you could put the beef on top of it.
You said it, Anthony.
My favourite thing ever. Anthony Cotton on Come Dine With Me in the Jungle. Making dreams come true on Radio 1. Josh has been on. He's on the M6. He's en route to Bristol for a 21st birthday. He's not wearing his best slacks and a polo shirt. He's in fact dressed as Mr. Incredible, which is brilliant. I hope he's got to stop off for petrol at some point and walk across the forecourt in sort of a very tight leotard sort of and leggings type affair. With a blonde quiff on top. So enjoy the party, Josh. Thank you very much for your text. Who plays... It's Holly Hunter who plays Mrs. Incredible, isn't it? The mum in The Incredibles. And I would want her voice. And I'm saying that for a reason, because we're talking voices next after James Morrison, who also, funnily enough, has got a voice too.
The Scott Mills Daily. B-B-C.
Radio.
Pretty fresh on Radio 1. So we headed out onto Stupid Street. Smooth Talking Dan headed out with a microphone to ask people a very important question. If you guess any of the following, you get 14 Scott Mills points. The question today that we asked on Stupid Street is if you could have any celebrity voice, whose would you have? Any celebrity's voice in the whole world? I do like Holly Hunter off of The Mum in Incredibles. In loads of other movies as well. Sometimes I can Hang on. She's kind of got a about it. Like, if you go, I can't do it. Sometimes it just comes over me. It does. Holly Hunter, I'm just like, bang. And it can happen at any time, and I'm Holly Hunter, but not then when I needed it to. She's kind of got that thing going on, ain't she? A little thing, like that sometimes. Was that it a bit? Was that it a bit, Holly Hunter, a bit?
Do you want me to say yes?
Yeah. So that's who I'd want to talk to. Becky, any celebrity voice in the world?
I mean, your own
is beautiful.
I can't think I want to be someone hot and Australian. I'd love to have an Australian accent.
One of the girls in the jungle. Emily off of the jungle.
Stop talking about the boob women.
Yeah. The booble tribe. No. Danny Minogue.
It's a bit nasal.
Kylie, she's the same, is she?
I quite like Annie Mac's voice.
Annie's got a lovely voice, lovely lilt to it.
I think it would have to be like lower and a bit huskier.
What, you say she's squeaking?
No, for me, like Annie, right. So more kind of cool.
Whereas
I'm a bit like... Only dogs can hear me sometimes.
Yeah, and dolphins. Yeah. But Annie's kind of husky and kind of like a lovely lilt to her voice, hasn't she? And Vic, you're from Stirling, so I imagine that you're perfectly happy with your beautiful voice, are you? Or would you?
Well, I quite fancy actually having a voice like Lily Allen. I think she sounds quite good.
Like a little Cockney...
Complete opposite from what I do.
Like a little Cockney Sparrow?
Yeah, but I'm not going to try it. So.
Okay. She's like a little posh Cockney Sparrow, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got a cracking voice.
Oh, do you love Lily? Yeah. Funny? See, you can't, you just never know, do you? Holly Hunter. Who are you going to have? Annie Mac, and you're going to have Lily Allen. Who the hell is it? You see, so random. So we went out on Super Street and we asked that very question to the lovely people. 14 Scott Mills points if you can guess what they said.
What's your name?
Paul.
Paul. Now, you sound like you've got a nice voice.
Thank you very much.
But if you had to change your voice for that other famous person, who would you go for?
Someone with a deeper voice, definitely. I'm going to go for Brian Blessed.
What's your name?
Oh, Leanne.
Your voice isn't that sexy currently. If you could have a celebrity's voice, who would you go for?
I quite like Scarlett Johansson's voice, but she is American.
If you could have a different voice, if you could have a celebrity's voice for your own, who would you choose?
Johnny Depp.
Why him?
He's cold dude, isn't he? He's the man.
What's your name?
Ilsa.
And who would you go for?
Prince William.
If you could change your voice to that of like a celebrity's, who would you go for?
Will Smith.
Why him?
Why not him?
What's your name?
Vicky.
Vicky, okay. If you could change your voice to that of a celebrity's, who would you go for?
Something husky, I think. Sean Connery.
Why him?
Because he's got an amazing voice.
Do you think his voice would suit you visually?
I think it would be something a bit different.
It would be. What about you?
Simon Cowell.
Why Simon Cowell for you?
Because he's a smooth talker, to the point and direct, and that's what I like about him.
You like speed talking people? I did.
Yes.
All right, thanks very much.
I'm a rapper, so I can't really separate my speaking voice from my musical voice. So I probably have Method Man from the Wu-Tang voice.
Okay.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man. M-E-T-H-O-D. It's sort of gravelly, sort of... He sounds like he owns the planet and he knows it.
Bruce Forsyth.
Why him?
Just a legend.
Can you do an impression of what he sounds like at all?
Nice to see you, nice.
What's your name?
Bram.
Okay, if you could change your voice to that of the celebrities, who would you go for?
Barry White.
Why him?
Because he's a love walrus.
Would you like to be a love walrus?
Yes.
Okay, good answer.
Look, it's undeniable.
I don't know.
We need some sort of shipping shipping lane has opened up outside. What the hecky peck was that? Look, it's undeniable that Bruce Forsyth is a broadcasting legend. Sir Bruce, as he is now, isn't it? But you wouldn't want to talk like him, would you? You a young chap. Smooth talking Dan wasn't very smooth at this point. In fact, he was a bit rude.
What's your name?
Oh, Leanne.
Your voice isn't that sexy currently.
It's so rude. None taken. This guy had a point.
Will Smith.
Why him?
Why not him?
Fair enough. Why not him? I can't give an answer to that. So when a lady says this...
Who would you go for?
Something husky, I think.
So when a lady says that, you're thinking maybe Mariella Frostrop. Who else is husky? And got Hilary DeVay. Maybe some other lady with a slightly croaky voice. Instead, she says...
Sean Connery.
Yeah, so, I mean... Her boyfriend could be like, oh, I've met this new bird. She's gorgeous. She's really tall. She's got beautiful dark hair. She's amazing. She's really sexy. Great figure. Talks like Sean Connery. But like, what? Hang on a minute. And this has got to me my favouritest question ever asked in the world ever on radio.
Would you like to be a love walrus?
Yes.
Yes. I've thought about that before. I've considered the question. No, my answer is yes.
The Scott Mills Daily. B-B-C. Ray D. No.
One. Sarah Coxon for Scott Mills. You all right? Just gone 5:10. It was cold. It was cold today, wasn't it? I had to find my fog lights on my car randomly as well. It was really misty and foggy. Find your fog lights if you're on your way home. No, only if it's foggy, though, obviously. I did that thing where I couldn't work out if it was foggy or if there was just condensation on my window or on the outside of the glass. It was really confusing my tiny brain. Went off... You know what? I wanged on at the start of November about how I was going to finish all my Christmas shopping by the end of November. I hadn't strictly started it. I hadn't bought anything until this morning. And I went to a massive toy shop this morning. Only other people in there were women. There's lots of mums in there. And just all of us looking a bit bewildered. We're all circling the aisles like sharks. Just kind of like slowly circling around, not really. And I thought, once I get something in the trolley, that'll be fine then. Then it'll start, you know. But it was just so overwhelming because there's just some... Like, I'm the youngest of five. Ben's the youngest of three. Everybody's had babies and then had more babies and then thought, oh, go on, let's have another and add another. Do you know what I mean? They've been, I know Gremlins were on the telly last night, but that's kind of, they've just been multiplying all these children. And each year it's just like the list on my phone. But now the older ones from up north can now get like a gift card for a shop or for music or whatever. So they're sort of bumped off the list at the top because they're too old. But there's more younger ones coming as well. So we were there this morning and I had to start it off. So I started off by getting myself a massive tub of sweets. I just thought I'll start it like that. And then went round, got a, you know, and obviously it's complicated because you have to send lots of things off for Santa and it's a very complicated process. But it took me 2 hours. And by the end, my breakfast had wore off and I was getting hangry. You know, where you're a little bit faint and hungry and angry. So luckily, my hangriness peaked just as I was loading the car and dropping things all over the place. If it had happened as I was queuing at the till. Because this particular shop where I go, it wasn't that bad today, actually. But normally, they sort of see having staff on the tills as a bit of an extravagance. So you get there and there's like 35 people going, can I just please get out of this place? But did it, and I felt good. So... most of them are done and sorted and ready to send off to Santa, and I'm pleased. I've made a dent in the giant, great big sort of oil drum of Christmas that it is. So I'm pleased. That was a good thing to do this morning. And I thought I was coming down with something. I woke up yesterday morning with that scratchy feeling, bosh, loads of vitamin C to the max, and haven't done. But last night, I thought I was getting ill. Because I had a bit of a nan sleep on the couch. You know when you have an involuntary nap and you don't know that you've napped? And so I'll talk about that in a moment. We had Zayn on with his Amy Winehouse masterpiece and lay on sofa quite happy. Next thing I wake up and I'm a celebrity starting and I just had like an hour little snooze on sofa. And the slightly unglamorous bit of it was that I'd had a snooze and Ben didn't want to disturb me. And he didn't tell me that I'd fallen asleep and I had a piece of cabbage on my face. And it was like a really... a piece of curly kale.
Was it something... was it a beauty treatment?
No, it was accidental.
Oh. I was like, what's that good for? Did you have it on each eyelid?
It would... no, just where my tash would normally be. So it was just sort of there. It wasn't a big piece of cabbage. I didn't have like a curly kale tash.
I was
going to
say
tash.
Like a cabbage tash. No?
A cabbage tash. It wasn't a cabbage tash. It was just a fleck. Either way, not sexy. Because I think my mouth was sort of, I imagine, hanging open a bit. And there was probably the odd sort of snuffly snore. And as he glanced over at the love of his life, I'm snoring. I'm having a nan nap and I've got cabbage on my face.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, so last night on a BBC local station in London, so surprisingly called BBC London, they had a special co-presenter, a guest co-presenter. So the DJ, the very lovely Joe Good, and the guest presenter was Arch, off of The Only Way Is Essex. Very sweet guy, seems like a really decent enough chappy. So anyway, Joe Good, who is a more experienced lady, might we say, they could become the new Styles Flack. She's much more experienced than Caroline Flack, I must say, in case all Flack is listening. You know, there's a day difference. But anyway, so Arch goes on and co-presents, and Joe Good is obviously a huge fan of Arch.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. You all right?
I am so excited.
So
do you know,
am I.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really, are you?
I'm proper excited, Joe.
Because well, I absolutely adore you.
Oh.
And and I just didn't think this was ever going to happen.
Oh. She's like, she's gone on completely unnecessary and completely girly and just loves Arch. And it's just live on the radio and he's there to guest present with her. And it's almost like she doesn't realise they're on air. She's kind of like, she's sort of gone back to her teen years.
Well, am I how you thought I'd be?
How do you even answer that? No, you're madder. You fancy me more than I thought you would do. Bless her. So, how does he answer?
Well, am I how you thought I'd be?
Yeah, you're exactly how I thought I'd be, Joe.
How did you think I'd be?
I've heard a lot about your show and I've been meaning to hear it before, so, you know, I'm very excited.
Bless him. He could have listened to the show before he went on it. So I've heard a lot about it and I've been meaning to listen, but you are exactly as I thought you'd be, i.e. he's no idea what she'd be like. But it's just so funny because it's like something that you'd ask, I don't know, after an internet relationship and then you finally meet up. Is that, are you, am I like you imagined I'd be? You
know what I mean? He's so flustered.
He's all kind of like,
Because if you listen, he goes, I'm exactly like I thought I'd be.
He goes, yeah, you're exactly like I thought I'd be.
Well, am I how you thought I'd be?
Yeah, you're exactly how I thought I'd be.
You're exactly how I thought I'd be. So anyway, she's completely hysterical. The DJ has lost it, which, you know, they call it, well, she's doing a Daniel Craig experience. That's sort of the thing that happens to me. So anyway, let's calm things down because it's there to do a job. It's there as co-host. Let's keep it professional. In fact, let's get a guest on because that'll stop people passing over Arch and it'll get a bit more professional.
Hello, and joining us now, international cabaret star and actor, Al Pillay. Soon to be performing in the West End Theatre, but joining us tonight, welcome Al.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Archie. I like a bit of argy-bargy,
oh,
thanks.
I bet you do. How are you, though? How are you?
And good? I don't have to go all the way to Essex for it.
No?
So, carry on, Arch.
So, Al, I was just going to say, you know, tell us a bit about what's been going on recently.
I mean, what
was that noise?
I tell you what that noise is at the end. So the guest is coming. Anyway, he's all over Arj as well. Like some sort of fog. The noise at the end was this. It's really horrible. It's sort of alien-y and kind of, I don't know, Sasquatchy. Listen. It's horrible. Poor Arj. I feel like he should be on this radio station, but in one of those sort of, you know, when you can go swimming with sharks and you're in one of them cages, you should be sat in one of them. He's not safe. We should helicopter him, dangle down a little rope ladder for him. So anyway, there's no stopping him now.
You don't have to worry, though, because you haven't got a scraggy neck.
No,
because you're younger than us.
I've been blessed, I think, with a nice neck.
He's got lovely skin, hasn't
he,
Al?
Yeah,
not bad.
Poor Arj. And it continues.
You've got the most beautiful eyes.
I'll get the other one.
Stunning
yes,
eyes.
You're very handsome.
You are very handsome, actually.
Amazing. They both... I mean, Do we even know if he got out of there alive? He could be chained to a radiator in Joe Good's back room.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So then, Becky, fan of Come Down With Me, are we?
Oh, yes.
Yes, oh, I love it, I do. As does Ailsa as well, who's been on. She emailed in, says, you might want to watch yesterday's Come Down With Me, because there's a lady on it who says she likes trees an awful lot. She doesn't just mention it in passing. She mentions it quite a bit. Ailsa, she's 12, she's near Aberdeen. She wants a few Scott Mills points. So if you can, are you going to guess how many times she mentions that she likes trees?
How many points are you giving away?
30.
30?
If you get it correct.
Oh, it's definitely worth a guess then. I'm going to say 12.
12? All right, I'll say 8. You're going to say 12? Mm-hmm. I'll say 8. So hello to Ailsa and also to a friend, Matthew. They listen on the podcast every day. So hello to Ailsa and Matthew. Ailsa, thank you very much for your email. Let's see how much does that lady off of Come Down With Me. I love trees.
You know what I adore is trees.
You like the trees?
I love trees. I'm sorry, is that so wrong?
Well, I mean, the significance of certain trees.
I love the trees.
Yep, you told us that.
It's at night.
To hear the wind rushing through
totally.
And then the rain pitter
yeah,
patching through
love
the
window. How old the trees are. I do take that on board, they're so old.
I just think trees are trees. I think trees after the late night serve a great purpose.
Huh? It's like, oh, gosh, you like come for pub, come out and watch a tree. But whereas I would see it from a different perspective, I love trees. And you know what? I love trees. And like, he might go up a tree, and I'll go, I love trees. I love the trees. And that's it.
The topic about the trees. Was absolutely rubbish.
I think you sound as though you know your trees.
Oh, I love my trees.
There's by far more important things in the world to discuss.
Topic about the trees is absolutely rubbish. She did mention it quite a lot, more than 8, I fear. So well done if you guessed the actual amount, which was 18. Yeah, so no points for nil pois for us, Becky, but just do remember...
You know what I adore is trees.
She really likes them.
I love trees. I love the trees.
Yeah, we know, love, we know.
And you know what, I love trees.
Yes, we know.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC.
Radio
1.
So that was Coldplay before that, Emily Sandy. And Daddy.
I'm sorry, Coldplay and who?
Emily Sandy. Sandy. It is Emily, though.
It is.
Even though it's spelled Emily.
That.
Sandy.
No, the way you said it was great. It's just the way you say it is great. So the way you said it and say it is great. I thought it would be good to hear it again. It's your diction really comes to the forefront when you say that particular name.
Well, funnily enough, when I've been listening this week, I've been noticing a...
a certain twang?
Masterpiece.
Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream. Grunge, the grunge era.
Say masterpieces for me in your most Kiwi accent.
Zane Lowe's masterpieces. You never know. Emily Sandé might make it into masterpieces one day.
It's a bit of a mountain goat about the...
Sorry.
I mean like a cool mountain goat.
Sarah
like
Cox,
cool.
You can see the change. You can see the change when you goad her a little bit and you have a bit of a... You give her a bit of stick, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like... You see the change. The face changes. It gets a little bit lanolin and then all of a sudden it's like, right. Like, you forget. I forget, like, the... The MTV, was it MTV Hot? Was
that MTV
what it
was Hot, you
She was
that
the sharpest
show.
Blade on the cutting edge of that show. You wouldn't mess with Sarah Cox back in the day. And sometimes, you know, she's a really well-rounded, very together mother broadcaster, but she can still fire rockets. Fire God, rockets.
I shall... Put
and
away my weapons.
See, she settled back into being Sarah
and settled back
again.
Down.
But I did see the change. The shoulders went back a little bit.
The beast popped up.
Yeah, that brain was just like, oh, wind it up, wind it up. Someone's having a crack at Sarah. Wind it up.
So, hey, we've had nice
masterpieces.
That's it. That is it.
Glad to be of service.
And you've got another masterpiece tonight.
Yeah, it's very different. All of them so different, you know. Last night was obviously quite a melancholy show to do and difficult to, you know, hopefully got the tone right. It seemed to really affect people in the way that you would expect. Mm-hmm. So soon after the passing of Amy Winehouse and reflecting on her music and what a great record that, you know, Back to Black is, and so many fantastic reflections and testimonials. So it was at the end of it, we were all really happy and really glad that it moved as many people, but that was just a bit of a blur, that show to do. Mm. Tonight, on the other hand, is going to be just really straight up, take that walk. Like, we're so excited about Boy in a Corner. Like, I just listened to the record again and went through it, pressed play, and only got about sort of 30 minutes into it before I had to stop and do some other work. But it was so compelling to listen to that 30 minutes. It's just such an incredible listen. And from the minute that it starts, and it's like, I'm just sitting, you know, and he's just setting the tone, and then he takes you on this journey of what he was experiencing in his life, you know, mixed in with a certain amount of exaggeration and the braggadocio that you'd expect from a young MC at that age, but with these crazy stark beats and these clattering kicks and snares and haunting. But it's just such a compelling listen. It's such a great story told through the eyes and ears of Dizzy and his producer and manager, sort of right-hand guy, Cage, you know, who's been with them from the
Cage
start.
Has been in for this album.
Both of them sat together and did the interview together, which is really rare. And I think the reason for that is because Dizzy, you know, was such a young man when he made that record. He was 17, 18 when he made Boy in the Corner.
Wow.
And as they tell in the story, they were just stacking tracks and just letting Dizzy be creative and just build this whole tapestry and this whole visual tapestry on this record, record at a time, song at a time. And Cage and that crew were out there kind of going, okay, well, we're going to build an infrastructure and we're going to go out and we're going to get these records out onto the street and out onto Pirate and do all this stuff. And then we're going to go and we're going to get, you know, we're going to finish the record and get it to XR Recordings and make a video and do all the stuff. And it was a real team effort. And I think it was great hearing the different sides of how that album came together and how it went from being, you know, a scene and being an incredibly exciting musical evolution, this spark of greatness that's given birth to the Tinchies and the Tiny Tampers and Lethal B and Wiley and all these amazing artists, DJ Target, and it actually became an industry.
Well, it was always sort of grime was always sort of music that I always felt like it'd be a bit of an exclusive club where I could have, like, I wasn't cool enough to get in it, and I'm not. But thanks to Dizzy, it's kind of just out there much more now and much more sort of accessible, it feels like. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that came out of, you know, the raves and out of the pirate radio and out of the scene. It was a very, very localized scene in that area, wherever that area that you were, and all the artists that spurred each other on and inspired each other, and it was a healthy competition in terms of rapping and telling the best stories and all that stuff, just like any great scene, and in particular rap. Very much the same thing happened in New York at the very start of the whole thing. Happened in Los Angeles or wherever hip hop thrives and lives. In New Zealand, you know, rappers were doing that.
And Dizzy, always good vibes, always good value as well when you chat to him. So have you got? Are you really happy with the interview?
Oh, fantastic! I mean, great for an artist at that point in his life.
Somebody harnessed him, really. He had all this raw talent, and luckily somebody harnessed it.
He harnessed himself, though, as well. I think the story that came out of everyone that we talked to was that Dizzy always had this ambition, always had this focus. Everyone recognized it. Everyone saw that he had a fire in him outside of just the music, and a lot of them did. That's why they're all continuing to have great careers, whether it is Wiley or Tinchy or any of that. They all were pushing in the same direction. You know, Dizzy has built a remarkable career out of himself, and as I said earlier today, you can see the impact Boy in the Corner had on the charts today and the real estate that Dizzy holds in the charts today and will continue to hold in years to come. He's in an incredible position whereby he can look at his position in the UK outside of just music as effectively what I would consider to be a national treasure, really.
Yeah.
People look at Dizzy as being this incredible personality, this remarkable sense of humour, this great charm and relaxed charisma that he has in all things he applies himself to, whether it's interviews or TV shows, on stage or on record. He can now sit back, relax into that, having had a bit of time off, getting ready to release new music next year, to look back at Boy in a Corner, who he was at 17 years old, and think about that record. He was proud of it. Like, they were high-fiving each other at the start of the interview because they know that it's what started the whole thing. And tonight you're going to get all those interviews, all of that stuff, reflection from everyone from Alex Turner to Rostam from Vampire Weekend, a really incredible insight into what was going on at East London at the start of it all, with loads of MCs sounding so young and so hungry. Tinchy's in there and they're all like announcing where they're from, what estate they're from. It's just an incredible document at a time that now you think about that music and you look at the charts and that's what it is. Back then, it was what started it all, and Boy in the Corner really was an integral part of that.
and four spectacularly different albums throughout the week as well. So tomorrow we're going to end off with Oasis.
And hopefully you'll have me back to talk about that tomorrow.
Smashing Pumpkins and Amy. Yeah, definitely. And then tonight, but tonight, all about Dizzy. We look forward to it.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download.